So right now, real quick, let's expedite the process. Mark chapter 10. Verse 46. Here it is. I'm going to break this down for you. They reached Jericho. Somebody say Jericho. Touch your neighbor, the one you like the most. Tell him Jericho. And touch the other one, the one that thinks you like him, but you actually have issues with them. And just say Jericho. They reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 48, this is the pushback. This right here is the cancel culture, amplified exponentially via the conduit of one verse. Be quiet. And by the way, it has an exclamation point in the original language, which means the person who was offended by the shout shouted. Ironically enough, be quiet, many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he heard him. He heard his shout. He stopped and said, tell him to come here. Well, they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Verse 50, Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see. And he followed Jesus down the road. I want to speak to you on the subject matter in the next 30 minutes, 29 minutes, and 11 seconds. Raise the volume. Raise the volume. Raise your volume. I don't care what you're going through right now. I don't care what's been happening in your life. Somebody in Melbourne, Australia, is about to experience victory, breakthrough. Somebody shout like the blind man Bartimaeus. Prompt Jesus to look your way. Raise your volume. Raise the volume. The subtext for the message is Jericho and the Shout 2.0. You got to go back. You're going to get that. Jericho and the Shout 2.0. And the second subtext would be silence is not an option. You may be seated for just a couple here. Number one, open your eyes by opening your mouth. Open your eyes by opening your mouth. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout. Shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Did he whisper? He nodded. He engaged in a golf clap. He did what? Because your eyes will never open until you open your mouth first. Vision is connected to praise. I'll repeat that for the hearing impaired. Vision is connected to praise. He worked with what he had. He could not see, but he could praise. He could not see, but he could shout. His optics were weak, but his vocal cords were strong. And here's the word, planet shakers. Stop focusing on what's weak in your life. Stop focusing on what you do not have. Stop focusing on what's broken in your life. Here's a word for some. Use the blessed area of your life in order to attract God to the broken area of your life. It's not about what you're missing. It's about what you have. Stop whining about what's missing. Start shouting about what you already have. Mature Christians don't just give God glory for what he gives. They give God praise for what he takes away. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, be thankful in all circumstances. What you already have, what you need. Touch your neighbor, tell him you already have what you need. Here's the word for someone. Tell your other neighbors, stop whining. Stop complaining. Start praising for what you already have. you already have what you need in order to see God show up in your circumstance. I'm going to tell you what you have. You have a faith that moves mountains. I said you have a faith that moves mountains. You have a shout that brings down walls. You have a joy that cannot be explained. You have a peace that passes all understanding. You have a grace that is sufficient. You have an anointing that annihilates the yoke. You have a gift that cannot be revoked, a destiny that cannot be stopped. You have mercies that are new every morning. You have the strength of the Father, the grace of the Son, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hey, you have Jesus. You have everything you need. Colossians 3:11, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus was attracted to the man's blindness. I'm going to mess up your... Never do your biblical due diligence, Greek exegetical extrapolation. He wasn't attracted to the man's blindness. And it wasn't that he didn't have empathy or compassion. No, they were en route. He wasn't attracted to the blindness. He was attracted explicitly to the man's shout. This is going to mess you up a bit. He wasn't attracted to Bartimaeus, the blind beggar. He was attracted to Bartimaeus, the worshiper. The problem is that we want God to focus on our need instead of provoking him to focus on our praise. You attract God by your praise so he can focus on your need. You attract God by your worship so he can focus on your weakness. Psalm 47 verse 1, shout to God with a joyful noise, the shout of triumph, with the loud voice of praise, with a shout of celebration. There is power in a holy shout. There is power in a holy shout. Isaiah 54 verse 1, sing, O childless woman, you who never gave birth. Break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, you who have never been in labor. Your shout says, my season, my life is about to radically be changed. Now, I want to point something here that very few touch. He was at the entrance to what city? We read it. Somebody say Jericho. Why is Jericho famous? You got to go old school to find out here. Why was Jericho famous? Joshua and the Israelites, many years before, they did what to prompt the walls of Jericho to come down? They shouted. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the blind man in the same place did the same thing. You're going to get this in 32 seconds. It was part of a cultural meta-narrative. This is why it's important. Your testimony must be shared from generation to generation. This is Jericho's shout 2.0. The same thing that his father's 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 father did many generations before. Do you think it's a coincidence there's a blind man who takes it upon himself to shout right in the same region where years before his forefathers shouted and they occupied the promise when the walls came down? I'm here to tell you to get ready. Don't tell your children. Don't tell your children to pray. Show them how to pray.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking Give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week, this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
Let me wrap up and pray for you. There are certain people that would like, certain proponents that would like us to go away. There are certain groups that would like us to lower our voices. There are certain entities, ideologies, and proponents that would love us to stop saying that Jesus is the only way. There are certain critics, just like Bartimaeus had, that would love us to stop saying that every life is sacred from the womb to the tomb. There are certain haters out there that would like us to stop saying that God made men and women different for a purpose. To all those that would like us to stop saying that Jesus is the only way and that his love and his mercy endureth forever. For every single, are we streaming? Oh, great. Are we really? Thanks. Well, to everyone out there who would love the church to lower our voices and to shrivel up in an echo chamber of mutual affirmation and to engage in Sunday psychotherapeutic, narcissistic, self-absorbed, ritualistic habits. If you would like us to be silent, if you would like us just to be loud here but not loud out there, I need to warn you, find some anxiety medication because the church is about to get louder than ever before. Somebody should break out right about now. The bride is about to get louder than ever before. The redeemed of the Lord are about to get louder than ever before. We are about to raise our volume. And it's not to annoy anyone. It's not to confront. It's not volume for the purpose of provoking, for exacerbating discord and hatred. Quite the opposite. Love cannot be silent. Truth cannot be silent. Compassion cannot be silent. Mercy cannot be silent. Acts 2:14, and Peter stood up and raised his voice. There is a generation of Christ exalting, spirit empowered, Bible believing, devil rebuking, demon binding, blood washed, cultural reformers and societal architects that are about to rise up. If that's you, lift up your hands. If you're ready to raise your volume. The moment I, on multiple occasions from the White House to Congress to what we do in Hollywood, I've had people literally tell me, hey, Sam, quote, not making this up, if you lower your volume, I don't mean about the volume. I mean, if you stop being so vociferous about your commitment to Jesus, like I do a lot of interviews on Fox and CNN and different networks, and in every interview, I have a commitment with him that I will mention Jesus. And it's, so all you gotta do is YouTube it, Google it. Because it's funny, because I've been brought in for different subject matters, not just faith issues, immigration, education, global, geopolitical, a bunch of issues. And for whatever reason, in the interview, I'm with Shannon Ream on Fox News or Sean Hannity or whoever it may be, and they're interviewing me, and it could be something totally non-faith, and I wrap up, and you'll see it, and at the end, and they'll go, and they go like, yeah, and what do you think about the geopolitical implications for the Jerusalem, for the embassy being moved from Tel Aviv, and, blah, 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 blah. And I go like, well, the geopolitical ramifications, blah, 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 and then I finish, because at the end of the day, there's still power in the name of Jesus, and it's like, and they look at me like, what just happened? But they bring me back. And Jesus is it. Never lower your volume. Don't lower your volume. Everybody stand. You are standing. Open your eyes to leaving things behind. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. He put aside his coat. To you, that may be a random act. To a poor blind man who is a beggar, that coat is one of his few possessions. He threw away, he put aside, arguably one of the last things he owned. He's conveying a message. By throwing away, putting away his beggar's coat, just by hearing the voice of the Messiah, he's already saying, I don't live there anymore. Oh, you missed that. I'm not that any. I just encountered just, I'm not even, and already I'm not what I used to be. I need you to shake your neighbor, tell him, I'm not who I used to be. No, tell him, I'm not who I used to be. I don't talk the way I used to. I don't think the way I used to. I don't walk the way I used to. I don't even pray the way I used to. I don't live the way I used to. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Galatians 2:20. You're not where you used to be because you're not who you used to be. What God places upon you is directly proportional to what you're willing to put aside for Him. When you let go of the things that define you as a beggar, He will place upon you the anointing that will define you as a believer. What do you want me to do? Jesus asked. What a question. The blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said, go. Your faith has healed you. Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Follow Jesus. God conquers, we possess, our children inherit. God conquers, we possess, our children inherit. All we got to do is put aside the coat. Let Him open up our eyes to what we have never seen before and follow Him. And it all began because He was willing to raise His volume. So here's how we're going to wrap right now. I'm going to count to three. You're going to raise your volume, not in some expression as part of the just the gathering in the atmosphere, but as a prophetic act like, God, I will never permit any circumstance to put me on mute. Who you are in me, with me, for me, and through me will never be muted. I will never be ashamed of who you are, regardless of who I'm with, where I'm at, whatever circumstance I'm going through, I will raise my volume. My volume will never be muted again. Quite the opposite. If the devil knew better, he would leave you alone. Because every time he comes against you, you have a contract after today that if the enemy comes against you, you're going to raise your volume like you've never raised your volume. Like ever. Are you with me right now? If all hell breaks out against you, throw away, raise your volume. Raise your, 1, 2, 3, somebody shout like you know that Jesus is. Raise your volume. Come on, Planet Shaker. Shout like you know. Shout like you know. Go. Raise it. Raise it! Raise your volume! Raise your volume! Raise your volume! Raise your volume! Raise! Raise! Raise!
defeated. Somebody pray like nothing can stand in your way.
We got 4 minutes here. Anyone here who says, Pastor Sam, I've permitted things to just, maybe just a little, and today God's telling me to, the moment I refused to lower the volume, the moment I refused, and I'm going to be honest, there was a temptation there because it comes with promises. I was told, you lower that, you stop being a Jesus freak, Sam. More movies in Hollywood, more stuff, more this, more that. And God just said, He just reminded me. God reminded me. He just reminded me of a little thing. The Lord giveth. And the Lord? Yeah. So I said, I'm not playing that game. Yeah, because the same God who opened the door is the same God who could. It's his door. Privately and publicly, you should be louder Monday through Saturday than what you are here on Sunday. Again. This is way beyond, yes, your praise and your worship, but it's about your testimony, the volume of your integrity, of your pursuit of righteousness, of exemplifying Christ, which is the glory of God, of you shining. Yeah, we're about to see something amazing take place. Put aside that beggar coat. You're not who you used to be. You don't live there anymore. That's not who you are. The moment Jesus show up, you're no longer a beggar. That's what the man putting this aside. I'm not who I used to be. Just by hearing him, just by him communicating in his presence, you're no longer a beggar. Lift up your hands. God's going to open doors that no man can close. No man. There's not a devil in hell or a demon on earth that can shut down what God is opening in your favor. You will change the world for the glory of Christ. Because your volume, your commitment to biblical orthodoxy, which is a fancy term for the truth of the gospel, the authoritative word of God, your commitment to eternal truth, your commitment to the fullness of Christ, never quenching the Holy Spirit. Because of that, God's going to give you platforms where you can shine his light. Matthew 5, 14 through 16, John 1, 5. We're about to see darkness flee through your life. More people will come to Jesus as Lord and Savior this year through your testimony than all your previous years combined in the name of Jesus. The kingdom of heaven will advance in your specific area like never before. So with your hands raised, repeat after me. Today, I open my eyes by opening my mouth. Today, I'm fully committed. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, all that I am, all that I hope to be, fully committed to raising the volume. I will never be silent. I will never be on mute. I will raise my volume on good days and bad days, on sunny days and rainy days. On days where everyone loves me, and on days where I don't even like myself, I will raise the volume. The world will know you through me. In the name of Jesus, amen. Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Let me repeat that. Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Your family mess is about to become God's miracle. Your health mess is about to become God's miracle. Your financial mess is about to become God's miracle. Your generational mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mental, emotional mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mess
is about to become God's miracle. Can you come in agreement with me that America's mess is about to become God's miracle? God gave me a word. I wrote a book called Your Mess, God's Miracle, from the narrative embedded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9. It's when Jesus healed the blind man, and he did so in a very unorthodox manner. What did he do? He took his spittle, he spit on the ground, he made mud out of it, and he placed it on a blind man's eyes. Did you hear that? What an unorthodox process. This book will empower you with the following truth. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. I will repeat that. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. Out of all the books I've written, this is my 11th book. This is the number one message thus far in all of my ministerial and writing trajectory. It's so anointed, it's so filled with God's power and spirit, it will bless your life. I promise you, you read it, and you will see by faith through Christ, your mess becoming God's miracle. So go right now. This book comes out April 6th, but there's a sense of urgency in the next few days for you to pick up a copy. So go on Amazon.com, pre-order. Your book will arrive the week of April 6th, but it behooves you, it compels you to get your copy today. And watch this. If you DM me a screenshot of the purchase of the book, my team has been instructed to randomly pick from the DMs individuals who have pre-ordered this book to send them copies of my previous books. You may be receiving 2 copies, 1 copy, 3 copies of books I've already written. Many of them became bestsellers for the glory of God. It will bless your life. So pre-order right now, Amazon.com. Go ahead, let's do this. Your mess, God's miracle.